Hello friends, I am Pradeep Acharya. Now I'll start my favorite topic, mass spectrometry. This topic has been taken from the chapter number 22 of the book entitled Chemistry, written by the Gary D. Christians and others. Learning objectives of these chapters is what is a mass spectrometer and what are its basic components. Use exact mass and monoisotopic mass instead of average mass. Resolution and mass accuracy are key performance parameters for mass spectrometers. Inlet and ion source vary depending on application, as for example GCMS versus LCMS. Mechanisms of ion generation vary depending on source. Atomic mass spectrometry, as for example ICP-MS. Mass analyzer held under high vacuum are used to separate ions. Both electric and magnetic fields are used in different ways to separate ions. Basic mass analyzers can be combined to reduce limitations in hybrid instruments. And the last objective of this chapter is tandem mass spectrometry can be used to aid quantitative and qualitative analysis. Mass spectrometry, in short, it is called the MS in capital letters. So, mass spectrometry has evolved and matured over the past several decades to become one of the most powerful analytical techniques available for quantitative and qualitative analysis. It is now commonplace for mass spectrometry to be used in support of research and routine analysis in wide-ranging fields of science and engineering, too numerous to mention. In the end of the 19th century, Eugene Goldstein, J.J. Thomson and William Wien used electric and magnetic fields to discover the proton and the electron. In the early 20th century, Francis Aston used similar means to discover isotopes of elements. Today, researchers routinely apply mass spectrometric techniques to study and unravel complex biological systems. Even whole virus particles have been given flight as charged species in mass spectrometer instruments. A field that began and developed firmly in the grasp of experimental physicists has now shifted into the realm of the analytical chemist. We are currently in the midst of an era where the power of mass spectrometer and the availability of more robust, more sensitive and faster systems continues to increase at an astonishing pace. A well-known contemporary analytical chemist once said, "If you can do it by mass spectrometry, it's probably not worth doing." Such a statement is telling of the vast capabilities of MS or mass spectrometry offers. Now I'll talk about the principles of mass spectrometry. Mass spectrometry is a sophisticated instrumental technique that produces, separate, and detect ions in the gas phase. The basic components of a mass spectrometer is number one, inlet, where we need to introduce the sample. Second component, source, where the ions are formed. Third component, mass analyzer, where the ions are separated. And fourth component is detector, where the ions are detected. Component number two, source, component number three, mass analyzer, and component number four, detector. The source, mass analyzer, and detector always will be in vacuum condition to minimize ion deactivation. And fifth component of the mass spectrometer is the data system, where we can analyze the data. Samples are introduced into a ionization source through some type of inlet system. Depending on the phase and nature of the sample and the analyte, the different inlets and ionization sources will be more or less optimal for producing ions. Analyte molecules are typically neutral and must be ionized. We have to remember here that in mass spectrometry system, the analyte should be ionized. Which analyte is not ionized, it cannot be detected by the mass spectrometer. So this ionization can be accomplished in many ways. Analytes can be subjected to high energy source such as electron bombardment, a laser, or an electrical discharge. Lower energy or sulfur ionization sources also exist, such as those encountered in atmospheric pressure ionization. Now I'll describe the common ionization source. Ions are either created or rapidly transferred into a high vacuum environment and can be separated based on their mass to charge, that means M by Z ratio, through the application of electric and magnetic fields in a variety of configurations. High vacuum means the very low pressure, 10 to the power minus 4 to 10 to the minus 7 torr. Different mass analyzers have different advantages, disadvantages, cost, and applications. Once the ions are separated, they are made to impinge on a detector, which convert the ion into an electrical signal that can be read by a data system. A variety of detectors exist, but some, such as the electron multiplier, are more common than others. One of the biggest places where MS instrumentation has developed and matured in the past two decades is in the software platform that collect and process data. Depending on the application, different software packages are available that specialize in qualitative and quantitative analysis, including sophisticated operations to support elemental formula determination, comparative analysis, bioinformatics, and many others. Specific software forms and functions are often manufacturer dependent and are not discussed in detail. That said, once you understand how a mass spectrometer works, the largest obstacle to being productive with one is often learning how to use the software effectively. Now I'll discuss about the types of mass in mass spectrometry. In most analytical techniques, it suffices to calculate the formula weight of a compound based on the values you obtain for elements from a standard periodic table. In MS, that means in mass spectrometry, you have to do this a little differently because mass spectrometers can distinguish the mass contributed by different isotopes. The formula weight that you calculate from mass on the periodic table will give you the average mass. The average mass is weighed by the natural abundance of the different isotopes present. In MS, we use the exact mass. The exact mass, also called monoisotopic mass, and it is calculated based solely on the contribution to the mass by individual isotopes of an element. We still use the convention of atomic mass unit, where the carbon 12 is said to exactly 12.40 Daltons. In short, Daltons we used to write DA, capital letters D and small letter A. Thus, the exact mass of methane composed from the most abundant isotope of the elements would be calculated as 12.40 plus within first bracket 1.207825 multiplied by 4 bracket close, and then the final value will be 16.0313 Dalton. A signal for this exact mass would be observed if methane ions are detected by mass spectrometry. Since 1% of naturally occurring carbon also contains a carbon 13 isotope, then a separate signal for an isotope of methane, that means its value will be 17.03465 Dalton after calculation, and it would also be observed in lower abundance. The output of an MS experiment is called a mass spectrum, and mass spectra for plural. The mass spectrum is a plot of ion abundance versus mass to charge ratio. The ion abundance reflects the amount of a particular ion that hits the detector, and it can be correlated with concentrations of the original analyte to perform quantitative analysis. The M by Z is a qualitative parameter that can be used to help identify an analyte. M by Z means, M means mass and Z means charge. In an example, what I describe now, we can find that if we ionize methane to form CH4 plus cation on a unit resolution instrument, we would expect to see two signals, one higher abundance signal at m by z value 16, and it would be accompanied by a much smaller signal of approximately 1% relative intensity at m by z value 17. Ion abundance in a mass spectrum, that means along the y-axis, it is often presented as relative intensity, where the signals of all ions recorded are normalized relative to the base peak or the most abundant ion. Now I'll discuss about the resolution. In mass spectrometry, the resolving power, that is the ability to differentiate two mass, and is given by the resolution R, capital letters R. It is defined as the nominal mass divided by the difference between two mass that can be separated. The equation is R is equal to m by delta m, where the delta m is the mass difference between two resolved peaks and m is the nominal mass at which the peak occurs. The mass difference is usually measured at the mean of some fixed fraction of the peak heights. For example, resolution at full width half maximum is commonly encountered in manufacturer specifications. Full width half maximum, in short, we used to write FWHM. Given any mass spectral signal, the resolution at FWHM can be calculated by dividing the m by z value at the apex of the signal by the width of the signal at one half its height. Based on this equation, whatever I described now for the resolution, a resolution of 1000 means that a molecule of m by z value 1000 would be resolved from m by z value 1001. The term unit resolution is sometimes used to indicate the ability to differentiate next integer mass. An instrument that provides unit resolution would allow one to distinguish m by z value 50 from m by z value 51, or m by z value 100 from the m by z value 101, and this is called the unit resolution. Or m by z 500 from m by z 501. Obviously, the higher the molecular weight, the higher resolution value R must be to achieve unit resolution. A resolution of 1500 is generally suitable for routine MS detection, but some applications require higher values. Now, I'll discuss how to determine the elemental formula by using the mass spectrometry technique. Determination or confirmation of the molecular weight of an atom or molecule is one of the fundamentally most useful applications of mass spectrometer. However, to assign the identity and structure also of a true unknown compound, the use of mass spec system alone can be limited. Some instruments in combination with appropriate software tools can be used to determine the elemental formula of an unknown. Such measurements rely on high resolution and high mass accuracy to delineate the m by z ratio and intensity of a molecular ion and in its accompanying isotopes. With the help of some well-established rules regarding allowable ratios of atoms which can be combined to form a molecule and some inputs by the users on expected amounts of a particular atom present, it is possible to discern potential elemental formula which have a formula weight close to the measured mass of the observed ion. The more accurately and precisely an ion mass can be measured, the fewer the number of elemental formula that would be expected to fit. For example, there are many more combinations of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen and oxygen atoms that can be assembled to get a formula weight close to m by z value 823.1. But the possibilities decrease significantly if the instrument can specify the mass of the ion to be m by z 823.1342, especially if we know this value to be accurate to within less than plus minus 2 ppm error in mass accuracy. A variety of rules can be used to guide elemental formula generation from MS data. A common one is the nitrogen rule. In applying this rule, a molecular mass will be an even integer number if it contains an even number, that means 0, 2, 4, etc., of nitrogen atoms, and will otherwise be an odd number, that is, when it contains an odd number of nitrogens, that means 1, 3, 5, etc. Another rule is called the rule of 13. This approach takes a measured mass and divide by 13 to generate a base formula containing only carbon and hydrogen. From the base formula, an index of hydrogen deficiency can be determined and used to consider whether other atom types besides carbon and hydrogen are present. Of course, as the molecular mass in question becomes larger and contains an increasing number of heteroatoms, solving for elemental formula by hand can become virtually impossible. For this reason, manufacturers and researchers have developed their own computer-aided tools. For a brand new molecule or an unknown, not present in the database, one cannot rely on the MS data alone. A good analytical chemist will always use other qualitative tools such as NMR technique, IR technique and elemental analysis, as for example CHN analysis, to determine and confirm the identity of a new molecule. Now I'll talk about the inlets and ionization source of mass spectrometric systems. The eventual goal of the inlet and ionization source is to convert molecules into gas phase ions in a high vacuum environment. The analysis of ions under vacuum is necessary in order to increase the mean free path of the ion or the average distance a particle will travel before it encounters a collision. Collisions can deactivate or neutralize ions and reduce ion yields or sensitivity. The mean free path is inversely correlated with pressure. There are many different inlet types depending on the sample and analyte form. If an analyte is thermally stable and volatile, the application of heat is a relatively simple way to convert it into a gas phase molecule. If such analytes are present in a mixture, then gas chromatography can be used to resolve the analyte from interference, and the outflow of the capillary column will act as the inlet into the ionization source of the mass spectrometers. Gas chromatography, mass spectrometry, this combined technique is a good common laboratory technique and is discussed more fully in the next part. If the analyte is in a more pure state, a direct vapor inlet or direct insertion probe can be used. Both use heat to vaporize the analyte so that it can be transferred to the ionization source. If the analyte is not volatile or is thermally labile, that means unstable, then other strategies are needed to convert analyte into gas phase ions. Polar and ionic compounds, especially biomolecules, typically fall under this category. Mixtures of these compounds in solution will generally be resolved by liquid chromatography. The use of liquid chromatography, mass spectrometry, that means LC-MS in short, it has increased in popularity in the past 20 years, especially with the advent of atmospheric pressure ionization source, such as capillary ionization, which are necessary to both remove excess solvent and convert non-volatile compounds into gas phase ions. Atmospheric pressure ionization source, we used to tell in short API source, API all in capital letters, and electrospray ionization source, in short we used to tell the ESI all in capital letters. These techniques are also suitable for introduction of solution for analysis by direct infusion, direct injection, or flow injection analysis. Flow injection analysis we'll discuss in the chapter number 24. Solid samples can also be analyzed by mass spectrometry. This can be introduced in various formats and subjected to ionizing radiation in the form of laser radiation, atom or ion bombardment, or electrical discharge. Laser radiation, that means for laser desorption and ionization, and ion bombardment for secondary ion mass spectrometry are currently the most rapidly applied technique for sampling solid materials for mass spectrometric analysis.